So we praise God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And indeed, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by the Spirit of God. We are really examining the life of Paul, and we are in the book of Acts, and we've been seeing the movements of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of Paul, and as well also in his missionary journeys and everything that he's been doing. Especially now we are in Ephesus and we are in the book of Acts 19. And yesterday we started to see how he went by the road of that went to Ephesus, and he found disciples. There were 12 in number, and he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "Ah, we have never heard about the Holy Spirit." And for me, what is interesting is these were believers, but they have never heard that even a Holy Spirit exists. And sadly, this is the situation that we have in many churches, and especially those that do not teach or even know the Holy Spirit. You see, the Bible calls them believers because they actually had believed in the Lord Jesus. But you see, they were not taught, and as thus they were hindered and they were not able to grow into the full knowledge. Think of Apollos. Apollos, when he was found by Aquilas and Priscilla, yes, he was fervent in spirit. He was passionate. He was zealous about the things of God, but he needed to be explained the way of the Lord more accurately. And this is the importance of teaching. You know, discipleship, or rather, you know, evangelism makes, you know, believers, makes converts, but discipleship grows them. And it is discipleship that has the ability to mature believers, that these believers can also bring forth other disciples. So we must always be in the place of teaching, because Jesus, everything that he began to do and to teach is what he focused on. You know, Jesus focused on preaching, he focused on teaching, he focused on healing and miracles and wonders, and he also focused on deliverance. So there are ideally main things that Jesus did: the deliverance ministry, where he ensured that people who were bound were set free. He also healed the sick, but he also preached and he also taught the people. So now we see that once he asked them, do you know about the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, "We have not as so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "So what baptism were you baptized?" And this is where we were saying there are several kinds of baptism. And so they said, "No, we were baptized into John's baptism." And he tells them, yes, John's baptism was good. It was a baptism for repentance, because he told them, "Repent, because the kingdom of God is near. Repent, because the Messiah is coming. Repent." And they repented. And you remember, he was teaching how the soldiers should not extort, you know, the people. And everyone was being guided on what to do. Now, but he pointed them that there is one coming whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. And it is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so immediately what Paul does is he said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. Verse 5. When they had this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Remember, we baptize believers in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so these believers, they believed in the Lord, in God, they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they were not baptized in the Holy Spirit. So he baptizes them first in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the Bible says, verse 6, which is what we focused on yesterday, "And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with other tongues and prophesied. And the men were about 12 in all." And we focused that when the laying on of hands is done by the Apostle Paul, they receive the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak, and not even beginning, and they spoke in other tongues and they prophesied. So that means when the Holy Spirit came upon them, there was a manifestation that was evident to all that they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And what is this? That they spoke with other tongues and they were prophesied. They prophesied. Think of what happened to Saul. You know, King Saul, when he was anointed, he was told, "You shall meet some prophets and you shall prophesy." So when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, he was standing to another man and he prophesied. And this is what the Holy Spirit, when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, we are turned into another man. And the Bible says, do as the occasion demands, do as the occasion serves. You know, so the Holy Spirit comes to run an errand in our lives, and he is the empowerment that gifts the believers to be able to be effective witnesses for the gospel. Now we want to see from verse 8, and we will see how Paul now starts this ministry in Ephesus. He has just found 12 disciples. He immediately prays for them. They're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And for me, it shows us that every believer, the only qualification that you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is that you're a believer and that you're available and that you are ready to partake of it by faith. And that is why we spoke of the foolishness of speaking in tongues, because it is indeed something that happens, that the Holy Spirit allows us to do. It looks foolish, but it is a work of faith. Now, verse 8, and this is Paul. He went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom. Verse 9, but when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus, and this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Think of how such a great harvest that God was preparing for Paul. Remember the initial time Paul wanted to go to Asia, but the Holy Spirit forbade them. It's not that the Holy Spirit did not want the Asians to believe, but he knew there is a right time. And so in this right time, he goes first, he identifies the 12 disciples, but then for 3 months, he is reasoning. You know, he is trying to persuade, you know, in the synagogue, what are the things concerning the kingdom of God? But when he realized that these ones are not going to hear, he told his disciples, "You come with me." And he went and he withdrew with their disciples. He reasoned with them daily in the school of Tyrannus. Can you imagine how much effort this man takes? Daily for 2 years, he is teaching in the school of Tyrannus until the whole of Asia had the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And for me, it speaks of such a great harvest that from one place, someone can sit and start to teach and start to teach and start to teach, and people come and hear, and you can have impact to a nation or to even a whole continent just because we're preaching the word of God. Now, verse 11. The Bible says, now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now just picture this. The Bible is telling us that it is God that worked unusual miracles, extraordinary miracles. It's not that Paul can say, "Oh, I am the one who did this. I am the mighty man of God. I am the one now who is going to be selling all these handkerchiefs." The Bible is telling us that as he sat in one place and taught the word of God, God began to work among mighty miracles through him. That he did not even need to leave where he was. Because if he leaves, he is distracted from the ministry of teaching and discipleship, which God has given him. And God does not want him to be distracted. So someone wants to be healed. He takes the handkerchief, tells them, go and take it to the sick person. And the sick person is made well. What is this grace and anointing that God has worked in the life of Paul, that he has matured, that he has worked out his own salvation with fear and trembling? Remember, we spoke of the potential that God has given us in the Holy Spirit, that we are given the Holy Spirit as a deposit. But how you work with the deposit is what determines the level of manifestation or of power that you can generate through the Holy Spirit, by which marks the distinctions between the believers. The Bible tells us many are called, but few are chosen. Many are given the free gift of the Holy Spirit. But you see, depending on your level of consecration, depending on what you do, how you serve the kingdom of God, depending on your commitment, it determines the level to which God can commit to you the kingdom of God. We enter the kingdom of God by faith. We enter the kingdom of God by the free gift of salvation. There is no one who can pay for any other work for salvation except what Christ has done. But you see, once you enter the kingdom, different rules apply. In the kingdom, there are rules of service, there are laws of service, there are laws of intimacy, there are laws of sacrifice, you know, there are laws of commitment. And this determined the difference between who God can trust to empower. Now, many desire all these things. Many desire to do such mighty works, but have not built themselves in the Spirit, in the capacity, in their commitment to God, in their study of the Word, in their prayer, in their fasting, in their watching. You can think of all in their praying. Remember how Paul says, I pray in tongues. I thank God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. Paul was committed to the work of God. And one of the things that we keep sharing that God sponsors his work. God attests the vindication of the Spirit, which is the signs, miracles, and wonders, is available to those who are in alignment to the work of God, to those who are doing the work of God. And God works out an extraordinary miracles. I believe God is able to do such miracles today. Think of Paul, Peter's shadow healed. That they say that, oh, they laid the sick on the road just that by chance Peter's shadow will fall upon them. And the Bible says, and all of them were healed. Many of them were healed. But now it's no longer need for a shadow. That spiritual substance can now be transferred even to inanimate objects, and can say, take this apron and take it to the sick, and the sick person shall be made well. But do you think this technology started with them? No, it was already there in the scriptures before. Jesus sent his word, and the word went. Think of even Elisha. When the Shunammite woman, son was sick, died, and Elisha sends Gehazi with the staff and said, take this staff, run and place it on the head of the forehead. That means that he knew that he could transfer that spiritual substance to an inanimate object, and when the object goes and touches the boy is able to be alive. Everything that we have has the ability to carry the glory of God. Now, this is about saturation. This is about concentration of the anointing. This is about the level to which we have exercised the refinery that God has given us. You are given a dynamite. You are given potential power through the Holy Spirit. And the more you engage your spirit, the more you keep your spirit active, the more you're listening to the word of God, the more you're meditating on the word of God, even while you're doing your normal work, the more you're praying, the more you're worshiping under your breath, in your inner man, the more you're communing with God. I tell you, the time when you need to demonstrate the power, it will be effortless. Why? Because you have been before the Lord. Anyone that has been with Jesus, you see, when the Bible says a man sent from God, look at John, a man sent from God. That means that he is constantly in the presence of God, that he was only sent by God to us, sent from God. That means you're not just appearing out of nothing, but there is a place, a secret place by which you have with God, that when you need him to manifest the presence, the power, he is faithful and he is available. Now look at the difference, verse 13. There are those who thought that this is just a matter of words. Verse 13 said, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. They thought it was just, the mentioning of the name. They did not understand that this name that you mention, this name that you call upon, is called upon by the revelation of the place or of the intimacy that you have with Jesus. It's like you're going to try and control traffic and saying, by just because traffic policemen stand and control traffic like this, that you have the authority to do it. No. There is a legal, spiritual authority that is given to everyone that demonstrates the power of God, that has a place with God. And we see the evidence of that spiritual substance that you have by how the world responds to you. The manifestation, the signs, the wonders, the healings, the demonstration is an evidence of the inner work that you have with God. Now, these itinerant Jews, exorcists, you know, when the Bible says they were exorcists, and even in the time of Jesus, they used to try and cast out devils. And that is why they were telling Jesus that, Jesus, you are casting out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub. Then Jesus asked them, if I'm doing it by the spirit of Beelzebub, how about you? How do you cast out the evil spirits? And he said that if one kingdom stands against itself, can it stand? A kingdom divided cannot stand. So he told them that for him, he casts out evil spirits by the finger of God. That is by the Holy Spirit and by the power of God. So them, they tried it out and so they thought that, maybe we can cast out the same way Paul does. So they say, we exorcise you, we cast you out by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Not the Jesus they know, not the Jesus they have believed in, not the Jesus they have experienced, by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They thought it was a charm. And this is where you find people, they are sleeping with the Bible under the pillow. They believe that, if I sleep with the Bible under the pillow, then I will not be attacked by the devil, or I will not have bad dreams. It is not a charm that you now, the moment you put the cross on your door, that now you're protected. Oh, the moment you put a cross next to your bed, that now you're protected. Oh, the moment you have a picture of Jesus, now you're protected. That one is idolatry. When you're putting your focus on things, but not the relationship, that is idolatry. And this is what they were trying. They're saying, the one that Paul preaches, we are the name of Jesus. They did not know that Jesus, when you call on the name of Jesus, he will ask, the demons will ask you, but who are you? And this is what happened Now, there are seven sons of Sceva, who was a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? That is basically saying that Jesus we know, and Paul, in fact, if you look at it in detail, it will say, Paul we have heard about. That means that in the spirit, they are talking about Paul. They will already discuss him, and they know that, hey, there's a guy who, if we encounter, we will have to live. The demons know those that have authority. In fact, if you attempt to cast out devils and you're not having a righteous life, you're not living by the authority that God has given you, yes, you may be born again, but you are in your carnality, the demons are going to embarrass you. And that's why at times they will laugh and say, you, but what are you trying to do? Are you not our member? Don't we know that you are a slave of us? Because they know. Because in the spirit, the authority that we carry is not hidden. Authority that we carry is light. So they can see light, they can know the amount of light that you have. For some people, it is just a small light. For others, it is a large light. For others, it's bright light, depending to the extent to which we have filled ourselves with God. Verse 16, the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped upon them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Verse 17, this became known both to Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. The end result of the demonstration of power, the demonstration of miracles, casting out devils, healings, is not that the name of the prophet to be known as the mightiest prophet. It's not that the man of God to be known as this is the mightiest man of God. This is the most anointed man of God. The focus is always that the name of Jesus is magnified. I tell you, when men praise you, humble yourself and go back and say, Lord, it is because of you. It is you. Look at such a great victory in Ephesus. Verse 18. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Verse 19, and many of those who had practiced magic, they brought their books together and burned them in the sight of them all, and they counted up the value of them all. It totaled to 50,000 pieces of silver, and the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. You see, when the word of God comes, there is a transformation. Not only is there believing, there is also what is called restitution. You know, some people say, okay, I've repented, I'm sorry, I will not do it again. But there is restitution. Restitution goes beyond the repentance, beyond the changing of your mind. Restitution is making amends. And this is where even those who had practiced magic arts, they brought those books. You see, there are things, you know, these are contact points of demons and devils. And that is why if there are such contact points, deliverance might not be complete in a person. You can cast out the devil, but you have to ask them, are there things that you receive from the kingdom of darkness when you are following them that you need to bring that it is destroyed? Some people, it is a ring. And when they put on the ring, it becomes a snake. Some people, it is books of witchcraft. And the Bible tells us that they had to bring them. And I was actually trying to check Amplified Classic, which it says the 50,000 pieces of silver was valued about $9,300. And I wanted to check the calculation of that, because there are versions that give us those books were worth $9,300. The people brought them. And what did they do? They burnt them. They burnt them. We must destroy every works of the devil. And this is really what happens when the Spirit of God enters a city. When through men of God, one man of God, when men of God go and make a change in a city, there is transformation, there is destruction of darkness, the name of God is glorified, fear comes on all the people. But beyond that, the word of God prevails. There is transformation among the people. I pray that God will give us this courage, give us this ability, give us this confidence. Be empowered by the Spirit and by grace commit ourselves to be available vessels that can be used by God. God wants us to be available vessels that can be used by God to establish His kingdom. I pray that God will give us more insight into this. I will stop here. And my brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Manos. What? It was an embarrassment being beaten by the demon.
I know.
Neglected and beating. Again, it's a strong reminder there that we don't take the name of God in vain. And as you rightly said, and I think most of the Christians think by simply invoking the name of Christ without any spiritual authority, it is enough. And that's how we abuse it. And I think God has said, do not call the name of God in vain.
Yeah.
We have rankings in the spirit, but I think it is upon us as Christians to ensure that our light and our ranking is strong in the spirit.
Yeah.
Because without building that, there is no way we're going to have the power, to be able to fight these demons and to chase them and all that.
Yeah.
And it's, as you're speaking, I just started reflecting on my life. I was like, okay, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing? I think, so that I can rectify things. And no, I'm not a slave at one time and again the other time I'm following Christ, Because when we talk about slavery, we think of big sins we're doing, even the small ones that we're repeatedly doing.
Yeah.
These also hold us as slaves to this evil world. So I think things and the devotion Paul shows there, he preaches to one group, they seem not to understand, he moves on to the next one.
Yeah.
He never falls and never gives up and says, this thing is not working. I think that comes from you believing in what you're doing first.
Yeah.
I think Paul had unwavering conviction because he believed what he was doing was the right thing. So there was no amount of rejection.
Yeah.
There was no amount of disbelief that was going to discourage him. He knew his mission and he stayed steadfast. Yeah. I think as Christians, that's what we should do. That's what we should do. We should not be Christians that it just takes one hungry church member to turn us away. We should not be a Christian that takes one man of God who will speak to us badly or say something that does not resonate and we abandon church. No, it's a personal conviction. We need to know God personally to be able to preach His word and to live by His ways.
Amen.
Yeah. Thanks.
Amen. Powerful. Do you know yourself in the spirit? Do you know what is your authority? That's a big question. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word that you have spoken to us. You have challenged us, O God, that indeed no one appears just out of nowhere. It is based on a relationship. It is based on intimacy. And indeed, you empower your children. You empower those that are your servants, O God. And I pray for those that as we examine ourselves, as we reflect on ourselves, as we look at the little foxes, as we ask ourselves, why is it that we have stagnated? Why is it that we are not manifesting? We are not fulfilling the Great Commission. Why is it that we are not growing, O God? I pray that you may give us obedience to your Spirit, O God. May your voice be magnified in our inner, that we may hear you clearly. We may know the instructions for the season, O God. And I pray by grace that we shall walk in them. We shall walk in obedience. We shall walk according to the truth, O God. And I pray even for encouragement to your servants, them that are giving up, them that have been trusting you and not seeing the effect of God, but let them know that, Lord, indeed it is your word that prevails. It is your name that is magnified. It is you that at the end of the day that shall be called upon to the name of the Lord. It is you that touches the hearts of men. And I pray for your continued action in the hearts of men in this land, in this city, in our nations, O God, that indeed may they hear the gospel, O God. Our trust is in you. Our dependence is on you. We remember our family members. Be with them. Strengthen them. Watch over them and encourage them. May your hand and power keep and sustain us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed, blessed day.